Welcome back to IndyCan Radio, your front row seat and backstage pass to Canada's great emerging music. John Cohen, Experimental of Montreal, has some brand new music. I understand Dearly Beloved is about to launch some new music from here in Toronto. We had last week Todd Arkell, who we sent down to Austin, Texas. This week we're bringing Austin, Texas here. Grady has a brand new album out, and Gordy Johnson will be joining us. And if you're a Big Sugar fan, we got some special news for you too. Anyway, let's kick off with What You Did off of Good As Dead by Grady.
From Grady, you're listening to IndyCan Radio.
So, Canada, good to you again?
Absolutely.
The show. tell you what to see. Looking for a sign of life, yeah. Keep looking for a sign of life, yeah. Who knows where that goes? Just don't go asking me. I'll tell you what to see. So tell me what it means.
Hey guys, this is Kiyomi from Hunter Valentine. I'm here celebrating Canadian Music Week, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
That was Hunter Valentine coming to us from Canadian Music Week. And before that, Dearly Beloved from Repo, Repo, Repo. Like I said, I understand there's some brand new music out, but even two records ago, I'm the Jaguar is not stale. You can go get that record and you're going to enjoy it. Let's see, we got some Eden Ants. I know they're working on some new stuff. This isn't new stuff. This is from their more recent CD. And coming up right now is Vaseline, if I have that pronounced right. This guy's influenced by Czech folk. I didn't quite get it the first time I heard this, and some records are like that for me. What are they trying to get at? And I don't see this anywhere on his bio, but it's kind of a David Bowie meets Frank Zappa meets Warren Zevon kind of feel. And anyway, this is Vaseline. Let me know what you think of it. And then we got some Eden Ants.
Round and round and round it goes. Where could it go to? Somewhere that has nothing to do with me or you. Me and you are a hurricane. We are a lofty bunch. It feels like rain in early May. Beating one and two, simple task it makes. Why we feel like running ahead, making life a race. Making life, or may we get ahead? A brain that's made of lead and sturdy too. How to pick things through. Like my brain.
Hurricane. name's Dave Martell. I am singing in Gittering, and my good friend Nicholas Williams is on the piano, Jean-Michel on the bass. The song's called Yours and Mine.
Summer and it's getting colder. Your face, it surprises. And I'm trying to keep it steady, but I'm just not quite ready. Your body can lay here beside me. And you're getting so much colder, and I'll wait a little longer. It's lovely, I know, and it's yours. So move on, they tell me, we'll take it to bury. But don't you know, she told me she loved me. Maybe you feel like dancing, can I do all the leading? And I'll do all your makeup, cause your arms aren't working anymore. And then I'll take you to the city, my dear, you look so pretty. I wish I could touch you just like the old days. And it's a long way till December, and I just can't remember your name, but it still rings inside me. Hey, it's still yours and mine. Not quite ready, your body can lay here beside mine. So you make it stronger, I'll wait a little longer. It's lovely, I know, and it's yours. So move on, they tell me we'll take it to bury. But don't you know, she told me she hates still yours and mine.
From a magical session at DNA Studios in Montreal. That was Dave Martel. This was a song early in the works that would eventually be on his most recent record. That was a great session. It's, I think, episode 38, if you want to go back into the IndieCan archives. We're going to talk to Gordy Grady Johnson. We talked to him for almost an hour, and so we can't give that all to you here. It would have been the whole show. And so we're going to give it to you in sections. If you're a Big Sugar fan, there are, well, I think the cat's out of the bag. Big Sugar is going to do at least a couple of reunion shows. There's no end to Grady in sight, but go to MySpace for that information from our IndieCan website. Next week, we're going to have part of the Grady interview where he talks about producing many other artists. Government Mule, Joel Plaskett, Jay Sparrow, Tim Chasen, The Trues. He's going to talk about all of that. This week, he's going to be talking a little bit about the new record and about the show we got to see at the Mod Club. Leading up to that, a brand new CD for me. Actually, I've been sitting on it a little while, but eager to get it to you. This is an outfit called Ghost Keeper. And if you like this song, you can go see their video. You can link to it from IndieCan.
Too lonely. Now I'm from the west, the far northwest. I'm here for the money, I do confess. I'm living close to my, I'm running a chainsaw. I'm cutting trees for the G's, but don't you judge me, girl. I just might be getting ready for you. You ready, baby? And in the meantime, but in the meantime.
Hey, this is Gordy Johnson from Grady, and you are listening to IndieCan Radio.
Last night you played the Mod Club.
Yes, I did.
And you said something that sounded very sincere. You said, hey, thanks for coming out. I didn't know if you guys would come out. Like, it's like hosting a party. I hope, you know, everybody comes or I'm going to be a fool. Do you still feel that way?
Always, yeah. Perpetually, I think all through my career, there's always that moment when you're in the dressing room and you don't hear a buzz in the room, and you just get this sinking feeling in your gut that, what if no one comes? What if this is the show where people decide, now we're tired of this, guys? Nonsense. You know, like, there's always that moment of, How's it going over there? Is anybody out there? Oh yeah, dude, it's packed. Phew.
Yeah.
They always still have that. I guess some artists they might take it for granted. I never did. I even when we were doing arena shows years ago, I never took it for granted. Every night I walked on stage was like, oh, you're kidding. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, you really, you care. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, it's a nice feeling to have when you walk out there and see people who just really, really, really care about what you're doing. And because I'm there to entertain them. Otherwise, I wouldn't leave home. I would just sit. I'd be in Texas playing my banjo on the porch, you know.
Good as dead is kind of an oxymoron. I mean, it's really nothing good about being dead. The album, was it a collection of songs where you were at now, or was it? Did this album have a mission, being the third Grady album?
You know, there's parts of it that are somewhat humorous, mm-hmm. and parts of it that are really way darker than our other stuff, because that's what life hands you. You know, like I've had friends pass away recently, and it's kind of eerie because a lot of the record was sort of inspired by and aimed directly at a person in my life who's now departed since the record's come out. So now I look at that record and go, ouch, well, that hurts. But at the same time, life has handed us humor and, you know, I mean, there's a truck driving song on there. There's a Willie Nelson, you know, honky-tonk anthem on there. There's accordion on there. There's fiddle on there. But these are all things that I have a physical connection to in my life. I hear accordion music every day. How could I not have Tejano accordion on my record? It's what I listen to every day. Gotta have that. Tim Chason from PEI spent almost a year working with that kid on his record. Great pop songwriter, great singer, cute as a bug. Man, I love this kid. What a great, that's the whole package of talented kid, humble. Turns out he comes from a fiddling, a Prince Edward Island fiddle dynasty. He's like the youngest of 50 amazing fiddlers. So how can I not have this kid play fiddle on my record? He's a huge influence on me. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm an influence on him. Well, guess what, buddy? I got something out of it too. His fiddle playing to me is like just this, it's a cultural expression. It's not even like a professional music thing. It's just a cultural entity more than anything. So I wanted a snapshot of that culture in my record. You know, the music of Ireland and Scotland and the Canadian Maritimes influences me, so I had to include it in there. So yeah, I guess in the analysis of it, yeah, it's a snapshot of all the things going on with me and us in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's all for real. There were nothing was done as a toss off or we need a song like this.
Right. You weren't trying to find the radio song.
No, yeah. I'm not. I was never trying to find the radio song, actually, at any point. It's sort of miraculous to me that any of those Big Sugar songs got played on the radio. Because if you listen to what was on the radio at that time, it wasn't nothing sounding like that. I'm the only artist, to my knowledge at least, I'm the only artist, I think, that on the same day in Toronto, we got played on the classic rock station, we got played on The Edge, the new music station, and we got played on The Flow, which was the new urban hip-hop station, the same day.
Right,
the
Grady,
same
you
song.
You could do that with Grady.
No, with Big Sugar. We did that with Big Sugar.
Right,
the same day.
The sort of reggae feel, you got the rock feel.
Classic rock, modern rock, and the hip-hop station. They all played it the same day. I was like, why isn't anybody writing about this in a newspaper? This has got to be worth something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, it's only worth something to the people that heard it on the radio and dug it. I mean, I was just, to me, just tickled. I felt like I got away with something.
Well, the problem is no one's listening to all three of those radio stations.
At the same time. Well, except me.
Let's see. I just want to finish with, Austin, I don't know if you moved there because you really wanted to have a definitive break from what people expected of you, and that would help it. You certainly say there's a lot of great songwriting there. You attribute Eastern Canada as just a wealth of great songwriting. I mean, in that breath, are you dissing Nashville in some way, or is this just your experience?
You know, I love Austin because it's a music town. It's not a music industry town. It's a music town. There is no industry there. There's not a bunch of managers and record labels. No one showcases in Austin unless it's South by Southwest. And really, South by Southwest is not Austin. It's its own entity. It becomes a city unto itself, South by Southwest. And a lot of people only know it for what that is. Mm-hmm. It's great. You know, fantastic. I mean, it's a wonderful thing once a year. Any random Tuesday night, I'll take a drive through the city and just see people who are doing it only because they love it, and they're only playing it for people who also just love it. Everyone in Austin, when they get done work or whatever, they go someplace and hear live music, because that's what you do in Austin. There is a live band. Mm-hmm. There's somebody sitting there picking a guitar or a fiddle or a pedal steel or in a punk metal band somewhere. No one's getting rich doing it. We're not making a bunch of money doing it. There's just not a lot of... You're splitting the door with four other bands most nights, and we don't need to get rich doing it in Austin. You just do it because you're doing cool music. We're not the only cowboy metal band in Austin. They don't exist anywhere else, by the way. You know, but there's just dudes who wear Wranglers and wear cowboy hats and work shirts and play Gibson guitars through Marshalls and metal out when they can. And it's nothing to listen to Slayer and Willie Nelson the same day for some of us. It's just all good, isn't it? We just love music. So I take a great deal of inspiration just from the place and people's attitude and how important music is to them. Now, I'm not going to diss Toronto out loud, but, you know, I really found like Toronto, for a time, was becoming a city where every gig was a showcase, and everybody's always networking and, like, schmoozing. And in Austin, no one's ever networking or schmoozing or showcase. We're not showcasing. We're showboating. Yeah. We're just showing off. We're going to do this whether you're here or not. But turns out people are there. So, but I have to say, I have seen a resurgence of creativity in this city, Toronto, Canada. Of late, I heard a lot of people that I knew from back in the good old days. There's always some good old days, you know, to complain about that are gone. How, you know, Queen Street was this great hotbed of creativity and artists and musicians of all genres and just such a creative time. And there were reggae clubs on that same strip. And, oh, man, it's just not like that anymore. But you know what? It's just moved to another part of the city. They're amazingly creative people who are just... They're playing marching band instruments in a bar somewhere. There's a guy behind a bar serving drinks playing trumpet at the same time. I mean, there's just incredible gatherings of people doing beautiful creative music, and they're not relying on any kind of industry support. And that's always been here, and that's great. I think Toronto's a fortunate city that it continues to accidentally spawn these bursts of creativity. So... I'm sure that'll burn out at some point, and then all those people complain that, oh man, it's just not like what it used to be.
With all these people you've worked with, you listen to what you did, and that's a Grady song. Unmistakable. Do you find you're influenced, or is Grady music a certain style in itself that you have to be true to?
Well, telling you the truth, I don't put much thought to it. I suppose it comes out sounding more... Well, that's your gig. I can analyze it after the fact for you. I can look at it and listen to it and go, oh, well, you know what? Here we were just talking about Rush. And there are certain songs on the record that now when I listen back to it, I go, well, that's actually kind of progressive. I mean, I love me some John Lee Hooker and some Lightnin' Hopkins, but I also love Pantera and Rush and ZZ Top and... High on Fire. Like, I've got really broad, you know, Dead Kennedys. I listen to Killing Joke. I've got a really broad spectrum of stuff that I just dig. Willie Nelson, you know. So it's kind of peculiar now listening back to it. I go, oh, I totally hear the Rush influence in that. The early 70s Rush, kind of progressive, heavy riffs, loud. There's drum solos every now and then, just stuff like that. And I go, you know, odd song structures. And I go, well, I wasn't thinking about it. I was listening to Waylon Jennings the day we did this.
Yeah.
But it came out. I ingested it, and we just sweated it out later. But I hear all those things in the record now when I listen to it. But at the time, we were just in the studio playing music. Just, it's all you can do. I think if you make it too on purpose, then it sounds sort of earnest for the wrong reasons. And I hear that in other bands, and I'm highly critical of it. When I hear someone who's just in the flow and being themselves, wow, there's nothing better. And it is fun to pull it apart and see if you can, you know, pick out the ingredients, you know.
Right,
exactly. It's kind of like if you're a wine taster, you know, like you can taste licorice and leather and smoky undertones of blah, blah, blah. I once stuck a glass of wine under the nose of my 6-year-old son. I was drinking some, you know, 20-year-old bottle of Barolo or something, and I was like, well, you know, the mind, the senses of a child, there's so much more, you know, he has the uncluttered mind and experience, and his olfactory, you know, thing is just developing. It would be fantastic. I'll just, hey, buddy, come here, smell Papa's wine. Well, what do you mean? Well, smell it. Put your nose in there. What do you smell? What would you say you smelled? Well, what do you mean, Pop? So, well, do you smell chocolate candies, or do you smell roses, or do you smell wood? What do you smell? And he put his nose up to the glass and he went, grapes. And you know, sometimes music is a bit like that. What are the influences? Grapes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, to me, my music is grapes. You can smell licorice and leather, and it's slate, I suppose, if you try hard enough, but it's grapes.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, I'm always trying to figure out what they were listening to on the way to the studio when they made that record, you know, but sometimes it's more basic than that.
It's not always what you think, because I drive my Jeep to the studio, or I've got an old vintage car, it just has AM radio. So I just listen to Tejano stations. I listen to the Mexican stations, because accordion music sounds killer on AM radio, and that's all I listen to. So when I'm driving around, I listen to that. Now, I'm on my way to go see Slayer, but I'm listening to a bunch of Mexican guys singing in Spanish, playing accordion. I don't know.
I get the feeling Ben certainly feels like this is his band. He's a part of Grady. Yeah. Do you feel like Nina feels like she's a part of the band now?
I think now she does, yeah. She's been with us almost 3 years. And the new record, I think, definitely her. It wouldn't have been the same record without her. With a different drummer, might have taken a whole different approach. The three records we have sound different from each other, largely because there's a different, you know, there's only three ingredients in the recipe. So when you take a major component like the drumming, yeah, it definitely has a different sound to it. So, and you know, her singing is a big part of the sound now too, because the two of us sing so much together. And it's pretty funny because she's like a 90-pound Punjabi girl. She's 3 feet tall or whatever. I mean, she's this tiny thing. I can lift her up in the air before the show as a warm-up, but she can do a spot-on imitation of my vocal. She can double my vocal, and it sounds like I doubled it, but it's her. She
wow.
does a really funny, I think it's for a joke initially, but she can imitate my vocals perfectly. When you hear the two of us talk, you wouldn't actually believe she could do that. But that's a cool trick, so I employed it. I'm like, great, I'm not doubling any of my vocals in the studio. You're going to do it.
Now, yeah, just for...
It's become part of the sound.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's the world's smallest drummer behind the world's largest drum kit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And she, you know, she won out of an audition of about, I don't know, 8 or 10 guys. And these guys were just beasts. I mean, they came in and they were just pounding the drums. A lot of good drummers, you can imagine. There's a lot of good musicians in the Austin area. She came in, tiny wisp of a thing, and without even trying, I think that's why she got the gig, because she just didn't even have to try that hard. She was like, wow, you got something that's beyond muscle, that's just beyond showing off. You're just, that's just the way she plays. And yeah. I have great admiration for musicians like that.
I just want you to pick a song, a sentimental favorite from Good Is Dead, and tell us a story about this song, and we're going to finish the show with that.
Okay, well, let's see. Well, I hate to get all heavy on you, but I alluded to it earlier. I had a dear friend who I've known since childhood who passed away recently, and I won't sugarcoat it. He drank himself to death. God bless him. And I wrote a song months and months ago that was basically a reduction of our last conversation that we had over the phone. And the song is called If I Was King. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but that is how it turned out. He's left us. And what I have left is the song as a reminder of it. So if you would play If I Was King, I would love that.
Thanks for being with us, Gordy Johnson, and thanks for sharing your music with us.
All right.
If I was king, even for a day, by tomorrow they'd be hailing on the bay. If I was king, and this world was my due,
Said God forgive me for telling you all of the
John Cohen Experimental, John Cohen X Dears. I loved his last album. I'm really looking forward to talking to him about this new one. Grady Johnson, or Gordy Johnson. If you want to hear the whole interview, if you can't wait till next week, go to IndieKen.com, School of Rock. You can hear the whole unedited, Jen Martin interrupting us halfway through to take some pictures, the giggling, anyway, it's all there if you want it, the Gordy Johnson interview. Help yourself if you're a nerd like me and you want the whole thing. And we're going out with a New Brunswick band. Let's see, the Slate Pacific. Yeah, hope you enjoy this. We'll see you next week.
So discreet, wandering the streets where the tourists wouldn't go, and through the broken gates of the vagrant estate, in a half foot of snow, the fire's down to the cold. Pray what you car in a parking lot, your brother found his way home, and at the terminal where the engines poison the air, listening to that dial tone, and as you hang up the phone, scared of what you might know. A civil war in the year of our Lord, and in the years of a common king, you know the ghosts in the hall are shaking us all. It's not a patience running thin, no, it's our will that's deafening. My fear that will win. Thank you.
more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.